This is a tape on June Spence Larson Nash, May 20th, 1988. Anyway, we'll start with your parents. Or, you know.
Okay.
So where did they spring from?
Well, Dad was born in Ontario. My mother was born in North Dakota.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Little town called Bathgate. And she came to Canada when she was three. They came to I think it's somewhere in around where my dad must have been born, but anyway.
Oh, in Ontario.
I think so. I was reading on that Red River Valley story.
Oh, yeah.
That mentioned that Pembina or Pembina in there. And,
oh, yeah.
And I thought, I bet you this
so
is...
So that's where they grew up. And, that's
and my sister went back there and looked up in church records and stuff like that last year and found some of the records in the church there.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So then, so they both grew up there, and that's...
Yeah, and then they were married in 1921.
Oh, yeah. And that's also in Ontario.
No, they were married. I'm not sure where they were married. In Saskatchewan, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because that's right. You said you lived in Saskatchewan farm.
And they had and then they moved on to a... Well, Dad ran the Cabri Ferry.
The what?
The Cabri Ferry.
Oh, yeah.
And the Pennant Ferry for a few years there. He
that's what river? Oh, that's
on the Saskatchewan River.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was 21, I think, when they were married.
Really?
22.
And so how many brothers and sisters were there?
Well, I have one sister. She's 3.5 years older than I am, and I had 7 brothers.
Oh, gosh! So where were you?
I was the third.
So you had a lot of chance to fight with your brothers.
Oh, yeah, you had to survive.
So where did you mostly grow up?
Well, we grew up, first 10 years of my life, we grew up in this, Dad had this little homestead. He preempted it from the government.
Where was that?
Just during the, it was in Saskatchewan.
Oh, that's
about 3 miles from the river.
Oh, yeah.
And, we lived in a little shack there, and then Mother, it was right during the Depression, and Mother, just for something to do, she used to read the Home Loving Hearts page in the Free Press, and she got corresponding with Helen Campbell.
Well, like, that's the second person, because there was somebody else, Martha West.
So oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, they corresponded for a couple of years, and Helen wrote really great stories about this country, you know, and I guess nothing could look worse to Mother than where she was at.
Oh, yeah.
And so we decided, we'd been on relief for a few years, I guess, and so they decided, well, they'd pay the government back, they'd sell the farm back to the government.
Oh, yeah.
And then they'd, I think they had $300 in their tickets when they finally settled up with the relief. You had to pay the relief back.
Oh, I see.
In those days, it wasn't like welfare.
You
borrowed, but you paid it back.
Oh, yeah.
So they only had about $300 left.
So then they would have then a free trip by train. That'd be like settlers.
Yeah, they had their tickets and $300 when we came here.
Because at Wookiees said the same thing. It was sort of almost the same idea.
That's right, yeah.
You have what they call a settler's rate on the train.
Yeah.
So they just simply packed up and came to Hazelden.
That's right. We went into White Bear and we stayed with my aunt overnight. We caught the train some ungodly hour in the morning. And
White Bear is a statue.
Yeah. And
all the kids were already born.
No, my youngest brother was born
here
in BC.
But the rest were pretty well out.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? So where did you land in Hazelden?
We, May 1939.
May 1939, and where did you...
And Tommy Marshall.
Tommy
we got off the train at Newtown, and Tommy Marshall used to meet the train, then he had a one-ton truck. And he carried the mail and stuff over to Old Town.
So what relation is he to Ward?
A brother.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
And so we get off the train and came over, and all us kids, of course, were in the, piled in the back of the truck with their stuff, bedding and stuff. And he brought us out
to the valley.
To Campbell's, yeah.
Oh, so you went to Campbell's?
We went to Campbell's, yeah. We stayed there for, I don't know how long, not very long. There was, like, they had five or six kids, too, and
yeah.
And they just had a small place. And so we moved downriver. I think it's right where Jane Barry's place is.
Oh, yeah.
There was a little shack there that had the, you know that stuff they put on chicken houses, it's plastic with wire in it? It shows the light through, but it's a little stronger than just plastic.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it had those, that's what was on the windows. And,
oh, yeah.
And there was just boards you could see through from upstairs, and you could see downstairs through the cracks in the floor and everything, you know.
But then being summer, it didn't matter.
No. And we spent a couple months there.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just before the war.
Oh.
And then...
Oh, yeah, of course, 39.
Yeah. So anyway, things didn't work out just the way it was supposed to over there. We were supposed to plant potatoes, and things didn't work out.
You were planting potatoes where?
At Campbell's.
Oh, yeah.
We were going to go sharecropping.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just too hectic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So anyway, we moved into Hazleton, and Dad worked, I don't know where he worked, for just a little while. And then he went to Rupert and got a job in the dry docks.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they just started then.
Oh, yeah.
Building ships for
so
the
that
war.
Was already during the war.
Yeah.
War already. Mm-hmm.
The fall of 39.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we moved to Rupert.
Oh, yeah.
So and we were there. I think I was in grade 6.
Oh.
There.
Oh, so you'd already started school in Saskatchewan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I was 11 when we landed here.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I went into grade 6, I think, in Rupert.
Did you like Rupert?
I didn't mind it. Oh, God, it was nice because we'd never seen so much rain and so much.
Oh.
People used to think we were nuts because the kids, my brothers and I, we'd just go out barefooted in the rain, you know, and it was just wonderful.
Because it was so dry.
Oh, so it was just absolutely dust bowl and water, you know.
Oh, my.
So that was really nice, and I think that summer, the next spring and summer, was one of the nicest because it was one of the drier summers for Rupert, you know.
That'd be like 1940.
And the gardens there were so beautiful then. They kind of went downhill after the war, but there was rock gardens and all. Gosh, it was so beautiful. And well, we had never seen flowers because nothing grew, eh? Just...
Isn't that such a contrast?
Yeah, yeah. And then you had the ocean. We
oh,
the ocean
of course.
Before.
I suppose you spent some time at the ocean.
Oh, I spent a year, lived a year on a lighthouse. Just
out of Prince Rupert?
Yeah.
What
Dad got this, mother got diphtheria, and my brother got diphtheria.
Oh.
And they were very sick for quite a while. I mean,
right, while you were in Prince Rupert.
Yeah, and we were all in quarantine, and we had mother and my brother up. Upstairs, quarantine upstairs, and I was looking after the little kids downstairs. And
this was in Prince Rupert itself.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then we went to this lighthouse. Dad got a job with the DOT looking after the lighthouse.
What's DOT?
Department of Transport.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so we all moved out there, and this big freighter was called, I can still remember, it was called the Alberni.
Oh, yeah.
And they took us out there, and then they couldn't get close enough to this island. It was just a rock. I bet it wasn't 2 acres in size. But it was a really nice house. And we lived there for a year.
God,
and that was a new experience. That was really neat.
That would be great.
Yeah, we had a 16-foot rowboat, and that was our transportation. We were
to the mainland.
About 6 miles maybe from Port Simpson and 3 miles away from Dundas Island. which is a long way if you're trying to get there in a rowboat.
If it's in a storm.
Yeah. There was no communication. There was, they used to have these messages that we used to listen to on the radio, of course, if the enemy was, if we spotted any enemy subs.
Oh, because this was that. Because this was still during the war.
Oh, yeah. It was just at the beginning of the war.
Oh,
42 or 3, I think. Now, we saw, I think we saw a sub go by once.
Did you?
Just the periscope thing.
Really?
But that's when they moved into the Aleutian Islands, and they were really protecting the Aleutian Islands.
This was meaning Canadian sub or American sub.
Well, I don't know whether it was a Canadian or American or Russian,
Japanese.
Who knew, or German, you never knew.
Yeah, of course.
Because all you saw was this little periscope thing. But...
interesting. So you were there only about a year?
13 months.
Isn't that something? And the kids must have just loved it, I guess. Eh?
It was really lonely.
But yeah, it would be. That's the only thing.
And we took correspondence.
Oh, yeah.
And Mom and Dad taught us. You know, Mother was the teacher because Dad's temper was too bad. But,
so outside, I mean, it would be very adventurous for 2 or 3 weeks or so, and then after that it sort of...
It was lonely because there was no one to talk to, no one, just yourselves.
Just your own selves.
We used to cut our own firewood. We'd get the driftwood off the shore and cut it. We had the whole basement full of firewood. Dad rigged up a stretcher and we'd lug it from one end of the island to the other, you know. Mother was really good. She read us all kinds of adventure stories. And we had a little library there and the mission boat used to come.
Oh, yeah.
During the summer and leave new books and take new take the old ones away someplace else and leave us new books. And gosh, I read more there than I...
Oh, yeah. That's one thing that, you know, sometimes... Just
and that way, precious. You know, your interests are so different.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved from there. My sister didn't go with us. And she had gone, and then she... went to Houston.
Oh, yeah.
And she married Henry Lubers. And so he had a sawmill. He and his brothers were sawmilling there. And...
Does he still live there?
No, she lives in Smithers.
Oh, yeah. Lubers. L-U-B-E-R-S.
Two B's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so anyway, she sent a ticket to Mother to come and visit her. We didn't know she was married or anything else, and she was going to have a baby, and so she sent a ticket to Mother, and so Mother caught a fish boat into Rupert and went down and to Houston, and that's the first she knew that my sister was married,
And
she stayed until after the baby was born, and then Henry needed somebody to help him. Sawmill.
Oh, yeah.
And by this time we were threatening to swim off the island if Dad didn't get a job someplace else. So he got a job then with Henry in the mill.
Oh, yeah.
And so we went to Houston. That was pretty neat.
So by this time you're what? Just about grade into?
Took my grades. Well, I took grade 6 in Rupert.
Grade seven by correspondence,
and then I took grade 8 by correspondence in Houston.
You mean there was no high school there?
No, there was one little schoolroom there, and I think it went to grade 7.
Probably grade 8 or something.
Or 6.
Well, oh yeah.
I took the grade 8 by correspondence.
For goodness sake.
And so we only stayed there. And Dad worked for Pete Dielman, and that summer I was. Must have been only 15, I guess. And I cooked for Pete Gilman out in his camp at Knockholt.
Hmm. Knockholt.
That Knockholt, K-N-O-X, I think.
Oh, I see.
H-O-L-T.
Oh, yeah.
And,
Peter Dielman, is it D-E-E-L-M-A-N?
D-I-E-L.
M-A-N.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So this is his camp?
Yeah. That was...
But, so how many would there be at the camp of the whole crew, I suppose?
Oh, half a dozen or so. My dad was a sawyer.
Oh, yeah, I see. So you're...
and, so I just went...
So that was sort of the end of
the
education.
They had a cook camp.
That was sort of like the end of your education, was it?
No, I just did that for the summer, and then we went to Burns Lake. They moved to Burns Lake.
Oh, yeah.
So I went, took my grade 9 in Burns Lake, and I worked at the hospital there.
Oh, yeah.
After schools and weekends. And then we had, just when school got out, the cook ran away with somebody.
From this hospital?
From the hospital, yeah. So they needed a cook. I said, well, I can cook. I was just a wardy before.
So you'd get twice the wage, I guess, would you?
Well, I don't remember how much I got paid. That didn't interest me very much. I was just
having fun.
And
so you'd be about 16 at the time.
Yeah. So that summer I cooked at the hospital in Burns Lake. My girlfriend worked there too, Mary Gilligan was her name.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a heck of a lot of fun. We'd go to all the dances, and we just... well, we make it back to go to work, you know. But it was fun. And then, by the end of that summer, Dad had moved to Terrace.
what was he doing there?
He's sawing. He was working for Little Hogan and Kerr.
Oh, yeah.
No, it was Usk he went to.
Oh, Usk.
Usk, yeah. Well, there was no school in Usk, so I went to Terrace, and I boarded with a lady by the name of Algers. That was kind of nice because she was a Seventh-day Adventist, so I was supposed to work for my room and board. So she wouldn't let me work on Sunday because that was my Sunday, and she wouldn't let me work Saturday because that was their Sunday, so I didn't do very much work for my board that year. But I had a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed school there.
Oh, that's nice. So that would be grade 9 now, isn't it?
No, grade 10.
Oh, grade 10.
Yeah. And I quit there. Mom and Dad moved again just before school finished. So I didn't even have time to write my exams.
Oh, dear.
No, I was recommended.
Oh, yeah.
In those days, you didn't have to write your exam. Mm-hmm. Your average was up. Mm-hmm. And so I just recommended. So then they went back to Smithers.
Oh, I see.
Or Telqua.
So they were still in the logging in those.
Yeah. Henry had a mill. By that time, he had a mill just over Hubert, the other side of Telqua.
Oh, yeah.
So they lived over there in the mill.
Oh, yeah.
My sister, they had a house in Telqua. Mm-hmm. And so I stayed. I don't remember now. Did I go there? I must have gone there because I went to Rupert again with a girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
And to look for work.
So, you finished your grade 10 and that's... And then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And... I got a job in a bus terminal in Prince Rupert. And it was kind of funny because it used to be, the guy that owned it was my old history teacher from grade 7.
Oh my. So he quit teaching that?
Yeah, he bought this bus terminal. And so I applied for this job, and they said, well, we need a cook.
Oh, for goodness sake.
So I said, well, I can cook. So they said, well, you go in the kitchen there and you make us a pie. If we like it, we'll hire you. So I went in and I made an apple pie and a raisin pie and a lemon pie, and they hired me.
So that's what you were doing at the bus terminal, cooking?
Yeah. So I got the job cooking there, and I worked there for, I forget how many months there. But then Mom and Dad wanted to go on a holiday. They'd never been on a holiday. And so
they wanted to come home to look after everybody.
Yes, they wanted me to come home and look after everybody. So I came home, and I didn't do a very good job of looking after them because they went on a holiday, and I was supposed to take the kids across the river.
Oh, yeah.
and that's when my brothers were drowned.
Oh, how many?
Two.
Oh, dear.
I was taking them across, and it was in the spring of the year, and the boat...
This is at Bulkley?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
And so we moved, then they moved from that camp into Telqua.
Oh, yeah. So they were, how old were your brothers?
About 8 and 10, I think.
Well,
and so we moved back in, they moved back into Telqua then. And I stayed there for a while, sort of helping out.
Yeah.
And then I got a job, another job, working at the Bushinger's Hotel.
This is in Telqua?
Yeah. Another friend of mine, we... Just the, and that year is when they put the BC Hydro into.
Oh, yeah.
Into
Telqua.
The North Country here.
Oh, yeah.
And we fed the hydro crew.
So this would become, the hydro becoming like from Prince George or what, or for Prince Rupert? Or, it's hard to say.
I don't know.
Yeah.
At that time, they just had those diesel plants where.
I see.
And they worked
out
of that, probably Smithers.
So it was, so it'd be just local kind of thing.
And I worked there for maybe a year. I don't remember.
So the whole crew was there?
Yeah.
They'd take quite a while to build the whole business up anyway. If they were building it.
Yeah, they had to put the poles in and string the wire, and they were there all that one summer anyway.
Yeah. And so you're the cook?
No, I waited tables. My girlfriend cooked.
Oh, yeah.
I like waiting tables better.
Well.
And we both got paid the same. I don't even remember how much we got paid. It didn't really matter. Eh?
Well, the cost of living was according.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Mm-hmm. And I went to quite a few different jobs then because I remember I was in Houston again. I rented a little cabin there and I worked as a waitress for this Alcanis Cafe, supposed to be the gateway to the north, but it never materialized, of course, but it was a start.
Yeah.
And then I went, where did I go from there? I don't even remember.
Kind of in Hazleton anyway.
Oh yeah, I was about 20, I guess, and I worked as a waitress in the Bulkley Hotel.
Bulkley?
Yeah. And I worked in for Harry Warren, had a cafe down on Main Street, right just off the railroad.
In Smithers.
Yeah, right next to Walls.
Oh, yeah.
There was, Casey Piper was in there. It's right on the corner anyway, and the train would go through and people would get off.
Oh, yeah.
And come in.
Oh, yeah.
From the train. It was close, you know, and they stayed over for a little while. And they'd have time to come and get a lunch.
And there were lots of people on the trains those days.
Yeah, yeah. But then Mother wanted me to get into something else besides waiting tables. She didn't think that was a very good job. And so she wanted me to apply at the hospital, and I didn't want to work at the hospital very bad. I'd had enough of that. So I wrote this real stupid letter to apply for a job.
This is to Hazleton?
No, to Smithers. I applied for a job and I, just to make my mother happy, I wrote this real stupid letter and my grammar was just terrible and everything else. I made my spelling all rotten. And they wrote me back and said they were sorry, but they didn't have an opening. Mother was really happy I tried, so, and I was really happy I didn't get the job. So then I got, applied for a job as a telephone operator.
Oh, yeah.
And there was still government telegraph and telephone there.
This is in Smithers also.
Yeah, I applied in Smithers, but they had an opening in Hazleton.
Oh, yeah.
And so they asked me if I wanted it, and I said, okay. So it was about May 1948, I guess.
Right.
Hunter Simpson brought me down, little Jeep. What a long journey it was in those days.
From Smithers.
Yeah, we had to come through that canyon and we stopped along the way and had lunch. But I stayed with his mother for a little while And then I stayed with Isabel Webster.
Oh, yeah.
Boarded there.
She was already married then.
Oh, yeah. She ran the dining room for the old hotel.
For the Inlander.
Yeah, and Harry Webster was the manager of the hotel.
And, oh, I see.
And she was the cook for the dining room, and in her house, was right beside her house.
Oh, I see.
And they lived there, and she did the cooking for the hotel guests.
You mean the hotel was in a different place?
It was right where the library is now.
Oh, for goodness sake. Yeah. So eventually, just now, that land fell away? And
well, it burnt down.
Oh, it burned after.
Burnt down just before Sargent's had finished their new hotel.
Oh.
It burnt down.
So Sargent's were building a new hotel there.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
He right where the new hotel is, there used to was their store.
Oh,
they had a big store and a big warehouse there.
Oh, yeah.
And
so then they built the new hotel, and then they built a new store after that.
Yeah.
In front of it. Well,
but it was all standing. The old store and everything was there when I came there.
Oh, for goodness. So it burned down. Well.
And I worked with Joe Panter and Carl Drake and Harry Compton. And
they were
telegraphers.
Oh.
And I was the telephone operator.
Well, oh, I see. So that was in the same office.
Mm-hmm. And that was right there across from Beardemus.
Oh, I see. Where the Indian Affairs is now.
Yes.
Oh, so they were, their job, they worked as telegraphers for the North up here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For Dawson.
Wireless, yeah. Oh, and I ran the switchboard. It was just a little switchboard. And I rated all the telegrams and stuff like that.
How do you mean you rated?
Well, people.
Oh, the prices.
The prices, yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So that would be, of course, well, I guess there were still all kinds of communications with the North at that time.
Oh, yeah.
With Dawson.
And everything was came through Ashcroft to Hazleton.
Oh, yeah.
And to Telegraph Creek, Tacla Landing, Germanson Landing.
Tacla Landing?
Tacla.
Oh, Tacla.
Yeah.
Oh, for goodness
T-A-K-L-A.
Yeah. Oh, for goodness sake. And Germanson Landing. So it was all by telegraph.
Manson Creek. Yeah.
Yeah. So it'd be what kind of messages in those days?
The same kind as there is now.
It'd be to do with families and jobs,
yeah.
And so it'd be all logging and
yeah, and or mining, mostly mining, more mining than logging in those days.
Yeah.
It'd
be mining and getting
crews. People actually lived up there. I couldn't believe it, you know. It was a real fascination for me because I'm doing all this stuff and sending these
messages,
all these messages going to these people, and just by the key.
Oh, yeah. And you learned to work it, too.
No, I didn't learn. I learned a little bit of the Morse code, but I'm not.
It's the other fellows that did the sending.
Yeah.
You did the paperwork.
I just did the.
So what telephone?
It was government telegraph and telephone at that time.
Oh, I see. So your telephones went where?
Just local. You could ring out. Everybody had a long and a short, or they had a coded ring, eh?
Yeah.
And after I left, then they changed it over.
But then you would go out, call Prince George or Vancouver?
You could phone anywhere.
Of course, it was connected to the railroad, wasn't it? To the railroad.
It went on the railroad through there,
on the telegraph
poles. Yeah.
So that's where the.
And they had local telephones, party lines, everybody could hear everybody else's ring and
get in on people's conversation.
Same as they did, the same as they did on the prairie. It was kind of, I kind of missed it when they got the other system going.
Well, because you could phone the operator and get all kinds of information sometimes. You could say, do you know? But once in an emergency.
I knew all that because I listened in on everybody's calls. You weren't supposed to ever divulge what you heard.
No, but I mean, if it was an emergency, if they possessed
if
it was an emergency, if RCBs or somebody, you could locate somebody. Oh, so then you must have some real experiences with the telephone.
Yeah, there were some pretty good ones, but...
Yeah.
Well, I only worked there for 7 months, and then I got married.
Oh, and that, so wait, how did you meet Axel?
Well, I knew him when I first came here. He'd homesteaded. He came the same year I did.
Oh, yeah.
He and Ken Miller came here in 1939 also.
Oh, for goodness
sake. And they homesteaded up here where Roysons live now.
Oh, yeah.
And they used to go to Campbell's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And the summer we were at Campbell's, they had been there. And then I saw Axel again when I worked at the Bulkley.
Oh, yeah.
And he had been trapping up north and stopped there waiting for his plane.
Oh, so they did.
I was about 18 or 19 then, and he didn't much interest me because I was too busy. But then I went to a New Year's dance, or New Year's party at Neil and Jean Sterich, I think it was. And he walked me home from the party. And that was New Year's Eve. We were married on March the 21st. Whirlwind courtship.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So then you came
out. I wouldn't recommend it. But it worked out for us, but it was, I don't know if it would work for everybody.
No. You lived in Hazleton.
Yeah, we lived in a little log house in Hazleton, and we weren't making very much money.
So he was he was trapping.
He trapped, and then he got a job. He worked part time in the beer parlor.
Oh yeah.
And then he got a job as Bill Sargent's bookkeeper.
Oh.
And we were only getting $200 a month.
Yeah, but you could really live on $200 in those days.
Not very good, you couldn't. No. We had, Kenny was born in January.
Oh, January 1940. No,
1949.
Oh, yeah. That's March 21, 1949, you got married.
Yeah, 48.
48.
No, 49, because Kenny was born in 1950.
Oh, yeah.
And so then Gordon Jewell had a sawmill that he had taken over some Frenchman down in Usk had gone bankrupt. And I think it was called Northern Interior Forest Products.
Oh, yeah.
And this guy had gone bankrupt, and Gordon Jewell was looking for somebody to run it. So it paid $300 a month. $100. So Axel he said, I don't know anything about sawmills. He said, I'd like to take it. I said, oh, I know all about it. I've lived in sawmills all my life. I'll teach you. So he took the job, and we moved down to Usk again, just on the highway. We lived right on the highway. And we had quite a camp there. He built it up, and he taught himself to saw, and I packed slabs, and we lived in, then we hired married couples, so it was kind of a nice little community then. We built cabins for all the married couples, and that made it kind of nice.
And they would probably have little kids like you did.
One family had a couple little boys, and two couples were just married. One of them happened to be Biff Spooner's sister.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Who, she and her husband Bob Sims came from Victoria, and he was a firefighter, fireman there.
Oh yeah.
And his friend Charlie, can't remember his last name now, but he and his wife, the four of them came up together, and
time. They just apply somehow, and they just hear about these jobs, and they just come in.
I don't know how we found them, but they, it's amazing. They just ask somebody, I guess, and say, well, maybe so-and-so's hiring. And,
yeah, looking for jobs.
Yeah.
Because this would be where I mean, the war was still, no, war
no,
was,
no.
Oh, no, no,
no,
so,
yeah.
So, and, so how long, so you must have stayed there for a while, did you?
We were there for a couple of years.
Oh, yeah. So you must have, one of the other boys was...
Kenny, or Alan and Ken were babies then.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Kenny was just learning to walk, and Alan was just a tiny baby.
Well.
We lived there for, I guess, 2 years, maybe a year and a half, 2 years. Then we cleaned up that sale. We went to Smithers, and we rented the equipment, and we moved out to Onion Mountain. We built another little village there.
Whereabouts is Onion Mountain?
It's on the road on the Cronin-Babine Road,
oh,
towards
yeah.
Babine Lake.
I see. So now you're in the logging business.
To Driftwood and
oh, yeah.
Through there. And
so you set up another mill.
Yeah, we sat that. So we moved that mill up there, and we sat it up there. And we,
you mean the mill from us?
Yeah.
Oh.
We rented it then.
Oh, I see.
We were just working for wages before.
Oh, I see.
And so then we rented that mill, and we had another baby there. Norman was born while we were in
there. Wow.
And then we did real good there. Bought ourselves a logging truck, and we made, I think we made $10,000 we saved.
Oh my, so that's
so,
big money.
Boy. So then Axel had a bad back all the time, and he wanted to get into something a little easier. So we heard that this taxi business, Triangle Motors for sailing.
Uh-huh.
So we went and looked at it, and Al Benson used to run it. They used to own it. And oh, he said, don't do it. He said, it's not easy. But anything looked easier than logging it.
Oh, yeah.
So we bought it anyway.
So he ran it before. Alan Benson ran it before.
Yeah.
So then you went into a taxi business.
Yeah, we had a service station and a four-car taxi.
Four-car taxi.
Yeah, and we lived right there, and we pumped gas and sold whatever we could sell, and then Axel taught himself to be a mechanic, and
yeah, well, you might.
We had the ambulance.
Oh, for goodness sake.
There was no ambulance then. We ran, we had one of our cars was a station wagon. We always had a station wagon.
So that was the
ambulance. We used it for the ambulance. And,
oh, my. So that was what year then?
1956. Halloween night, 1956, we moved in.
Halloween night, well. And so how many years did you stay there?
We stayed till June 1966, 10 years.
Well, because I think that's where you were when we moved.
Probably.
Because we moved here in 1962.
Oh, did you? Well, that's where we were then, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because, and that's where you lived, in that little house.
We lived right in that house, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So yeah. your other three little boys were born then.
Yeah, they were all born there. Four. I had another baby, but he didn't live.
For goodness
sake. And so we had four children there.
Wow.
That was my holiday every year. I'd take a week off and go and have a baby.
Oh, they're just a year apart.
Just about 15 months apart.
Oh, that's great. So then, of course, the other boys were into school and all that by this time.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny, they took Kenny and, well, all your boys did all their schooling in
Hazleton, yeah.
In Hazleton. Oh, my
took goodness. Ken to grade one in Smithers. You know how they invite the next year, the kindergarten kids to spend a day in school?
Mm-hmm.
And so I took Ken there this day and came home. Well, how did you like school, Ken? Well, it was all right. I wouldn't want to do it every day. He was 6 years old or 5 years old.
Oh,
my goodness. I thought that was pretty good.
Oh, my.
Then in 66, we bought that house in 2 Mile because it was the only, wasn't finished anything, but we sold the business.
Oh, I see. You sold your business in 1966.
Yeah.
Who was it that bought your business?
Eric Jamsey.
Oh, I see.
He came up from Bella Bella. He'd been working down there. And we sold the business to he and Eric and Lorna.
Oh, yeah.
So then we had to find a house that was big enough for all of us, and we bought that shell up there at 2 Mile and did a little work on it. Mm-hmm. And Axel decided he was going to retire. But there was no money to retire on with 6 kids.
Oh.
So then I rented a pool hall.
Yeah.
Fender's pool hall.
Yeah.
And I rented that for a year. I didn't make much money, but I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, I guess it was terribly expensive to heat or something, you said.
It was awfully expensive to heat, and one person can only put in so many hours.
That's
you know?
Right. Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. The clientele was really nice.
Yeah. They're always, you know, small towns. Small towns are always interesting.
Yeah. Then Axel decided he wanted to go back to the homestead, so he was the village clerk by this time. He did odd jobs. He babysat at the police station, and I babysat at the police station, and we did janitor work at the schools, and we did just odd jobs.
Sobbing.
Yeah, I did that for a couple of years. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah.
And then he decided he wanted, oh, and then we got the mail contract.
Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah, that
he wanted to go farming again.
You had the mail contract for about 2 years or something, didn't you?
Oh, quite a long time, yeah.
Is that right?
He had it. And then when he died.
Oh, I see.
Up there at the farm.
Yeah, and you took it over.
And I took it over. And I took over the village clerk job, too.
Oh, really?
I was village clerk for 3 years.
Really?
Yeah. $300 a month.
You're kidding.
And I got about $300 a month for my mail contract, 3 1/4, I think, which wasn't enough to support four kids. I still had four kids. And so I did other things. I did the census, and I did whatever I could find.
Yeah.
And the kids were really good to pitch in and help me.
So that's when Axel had the, when he was on the farm again, that's when he had his accident with the tractor.
Yeah.
There was, it was, like he had a, well of course you really think it was killed on the account of the tractor. The tractor squashed him, wasn't it? Or?
Oh yeah, he was pulling, what he was trying to do, he was pulling out the old wire.
Oh.
And he had the tractor.
Oh, I see.
And I guess he was must have been hooked onto an old stump or something that didn't give when he pulled, and it just slipped backwards and right on.
So it was just an instant.
Yeah, that's what they told me that it was.
Yes. Yeah, that was the, 1970.
Yeah.
So there were 7 men died that year.
Well, you remember that? That's right, because Jim died just after that.
Oh yeah, Jim was
and
second.
And Margaret Clay's husband.
Yeah,
and
he was third. And
Earl Simpson's husband.
Earl Simpson.
May Simpson's.
Earl Simpson died that. I knew there was a seventh one. I could never remember, because the Halliday brother died, and that doctor died up in the mountains.
The Halliday died just before Axel did, because I remember Axel and I used to go. That was one of our yearly trips. That we'd meet the train when that Halliday fella came.
Oh, yeah.
And he would phone us to meet the train, and we'd take him out to Halliday's.
Oh,
and he'd say, well, come and get me in 2 weeks at state. And we'd go out and pick him up and take him back to the train.
Oh, for
and that year, he died before he got back.
Yeah, Carl. Wasn't it Carl?
Carl Halliday, yeah.
Yeah.
And Axel was still alive then. I think he...
I see. So he was the
2 weeks after that or something.
So Carl was the first one to go.
I think so.
For goodness sake.
Well, sure, a lot of them right then.
Boy.
And Bill McGowan.
Yeah, Bill McGowan was at 38. He was the youngest one of the lot.
Yeah.
And, of course,
Pat Clay was, of course, pretty young too, 45 or something like that.
Axel was only 58, I was surprised. You know, he... I'm older now than he was when he died, and it just floors me when I think of it, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, Gemma's 63 when he died.
Yeah.
And
he had a heart attack, didn't he?
Yeah.
And that's when I decided, anyway, the kids were getting, I was working at so many jobs that I was never home.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, well, oh, that's when I took the foster kids.
Oh, you had foster kids?
Oh, yeah, I had 3 foster kids.
This is when you were 2 months?
No, that's just when we moved out here. Oh. Moved out here, Margaret Kay was my real buddy.
Where did you live?
I lived at 2 Mile, right beside Jack Williams's.
Oh, yeah, you still live there?
Yeah.
I mean, that's where you took the foster kids.
Yeah, that's where we moved after we sold out.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You still lived at 2 Mile when you took the foster kids.
No, after Axel died, then I was never home, and the kids were getting bigger, and I thought, well, if I had a little place out of town, then they'd have to take the bus home, and I'd know where they were. So I started looking for a place, and I saw this for sale sign down on the Dundas place, and I started inquiring about it. And Margaret was working part-time then, Margaret Clay.
Yeah.
She worked part-time for North Country. So she and I got talking, and I said,
This is when Pat's already gone, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And Margaret was still at the cafe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so I said, well, I had just counted all my assets, and if I sold this for this much, and this for this much, and this for this much, and this for this much, I could buy this place. And all I wanted was that little place down there, and I thought I could maybe put a trailer on it.
The Dundas place.
Yeah. But the guy in the real estate office said, no, you have to buy the whole thing because it's an estate, and we have to sell it all. So I went to the banker and told him my little story, and I borrowed $50,000 and bought, put the pound payment on it, and that's how I established how much land was worth in the valley.
I guess.
That's how much I needed, so that's how much it was worth. And I haven't looked back. The kids really liked it here. It was really a good
place. So this is where you came to live?
Yeah, we came here. This guy said, the guy in the real estate office, Jack, said, well, why don't you buy the place with the house on it? My dad is interested in the rest of it. There was 5 more quarters.
You mean up here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So if you buy this place, my dad will buy the rest of it.
Oh, Jack said that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And because he wants to retire. Mm-hmm. So that's when I decided, now Jack's dad is not going to retire buying 5 quarter sections of land.
No.
And he's figuring on making some money at it. So if he can make some money, I should be able to make some money. So that's when I went to the bank.
And you bought the whole works?
I bought the whole thing, yeah.
Good for you.
And...
So what year was that then that you moved up
72. There? We moved in 72. End of October again.
October to...
Halloween night again.
Halloween night again. Mm-hmm. And that's something.
Yeah.
So you've been here 15 years. About 16.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? So the kids... Well, Norman... No, you were still at 2 Mile when Norman was in high school and all that stuff. The kids must be all practically out of school by now.
No, Norman was...
Norman was graduated because Norman Marin who graduated the same year.
But that's when, and the kids were, then the kids, I used to drive them to 17 Mile Bridge to catch the bus.
Oh, I see, and that's when you had foster kids.
Yeah, I had Tommy McLean first.
Oh, really?
Had him for a year.
Is he alive or is he gone?
I think he's in jail.
Somebody said he died.
No, I think he's in jail. And, started taking foster kids, one, because I needed money, two, because my kids were starting to feel sorry for themselves, And I figured that they should about time they run into somebody that was a little worse off than they were.
Oh, I see.
And I took the really bad ones because it paid more money.
Really?
Yeah. And I, when they were there, they never got into trouble.
So you had Tommy and...
I had Tommy the first year, and then I took Kenny and Jamie Delaney. You must remember that. You must have been teaching at 2 Mile by that time.
I don't know any Delaney's.
Anyway, he was, one was a little blonde guy, and one was a little dark guy.
Oh, yeah.
They terrorized everybody, and but they didn't terrorize me. I just loved them. They were good kids.
So they stayed for quite a while?
They stayed for a year.
1 year?
Yeah, and then their time was up. They got taken away, and they wanted to come back, but by that time I had swapped Eric. I wasn't selling that house in 2 Mile, wasn't selling.
Oh, yeah.
And then Eric, Jansey, and Lorna were tired. They'd been in 10 years in the taxi business.
Yeah.
And they wanted out. So I said to Eric one day, when I was in town, I said, hey, if you don't quit belly aching, I'm going to swap you that house in 2 Mile for your business. And,
oh, I see.
And God, when I get home, I came home, did my shopping and came home, and Bruce met me at the door, and he said, hey, what's Eric phone? He said he wanted to know if you were serious about swapping a house or something. I hadn't even had time to tell Bruce about it, eh?
So what year were you born, married to Bruce?
Bruce and I were married in 73.
Oh, I see.
Uh-huh.
I've got a picture of you somewhere.
Yeah, some of those pictures were pretty good, you took.
I guess I gave them to you.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then you swapped business, and then you were...
Then I was back in business again, but without the taxi business.
Oh, yeah.
Eric and Lorna had sold that to Cora Gray and her husband, what's his name, Ernie?
Oh, Bergman.
Burton, I think his name was, the Italian fella.
Oh, yeah. So that was of gas, we did gas and what, mechanics?
Gossip, gifts, and gas.
Gossip, gifts, and gas.
Yeah. I just started doing whatever I could sell, eh? And it worked into, and then I used to take my flowers from the house there because I spent most of my days there, and I thought, well, I might as well have some of my plants there.
Yeah.
And people wanted to buy them, so I thought, well, maybe I'll sell flowers then.
Sure.
So I found out where I could buy them, and I started out, that's how I started in that.
Well, you were there for quite a few years, for about 3 or 4.
7, I think.
7 years?
I tried to sell it several times, and 3 times or more I got...
One,
yeah, remember the crooks there, that Brooks, he was using it for a front for all his stolen stuff. He had over $100,000 worth of stolen stuff in there.
God.
He'd ask and say, well, I'm interested in a washing machine. And he'd say, well, what brand do you want, you know?
Oh.
And so I lost my shirt there.
You did, eh?
Yeah, I lost about $10,000, I guess, plus half of my equipment.
Oh. You mean they just took it with them, or what?
Sold it to somebody else.
Oh, for you?
Yeah. And then I rented it.
Yeah, I rented it to, wasn't it, to the people next
John
door?
John Sines and...
Oh, John Sines.
John Sines and that, you know the redhead that... Pete Fortney and John Sines, anyway, they... He was married to a redhead, that Peter Fortney.
Oh, yeah.
And...
Then you had it with the people that live right there.
Tandy's, yeah.
Tandy's.
I lost another 10,000 with them.
Hysteric.
And it was just left in a shambles.
Well, he kind of took, well, even the house here, he took some light bulbs out of the thing. Probably.
They hammered holes in the wall. I guess maybe they were looking for studs to hammer nails into.
Oh, I see.
And there was just Donna Connell on the wall. And it was just full of hammer marks, just punched right through the Donna Connell. I had to redo the whole thing.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
That was too bad. Yeah.
I really enjoyed that, too.
Because
it was my own little business. It was the first time I'd ever really been on my own.
Yeah.
And it gave me some room to try my ideas. And
And it gave you...
And I did the ceramics. Then I went away and I took a course, learned how to do ceramics. I run into this minister's wife in Vanderhoof, and she was doing it just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave me all her stuff to sell.
Wow.
But then she was working and she couldn't keep up to me. So I was selling it so fast.
Really?
Yeah.
In Hazleton?
Yeah. And it just caught on, and everybody
was buying,
wanted it. And she did such beautiful work. So I thought, well, maybe I'll just go and learn how to do that. So I hired somebody to work for me, and I went to Prince George and took the course.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. Came back and started doing it and selling it. And then I...
So you were at it for 7 years.
Yeah.
And then you finally sold.
Sold to Ray Poor.
Who? Oh, yeah.
Ray Poor.
Just P-O-O-R?
Yeah.
Well, he didn't do too well or something.
Well, actually, it depends. He got out of the... He bought all my stock.
Because he was doing... He was a mechanic, wasn't he? No.
No, he was... He was a construction worker.
Oh, I see.
But he... leveled the building up. Everybody kept telling me, oh, tear it down, you know. It's just a... It's when that damn Doug Avery, he was going to condemn it.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, well, there's nothing wrong with it except the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the timbers are sound, mm-hmm. but I couldn't do the work myself, and I wasn't making enough at it to hire it done. So anyway, Ray Poor got Drew Wookie.
Oh, yeah.
And they leveled it up.
Hmm.
And they fixed a nice apartment upstairs there.
Is that right? Is there somebody living there?
What?
Is that right? Who's living there?
I think the guy that's renting the shop.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. He sublet the shop.
Oh, he did, eh?
To that fellow that's there now. Mm-hmm. Incidentally, that was all my ideas that they're doing there now. That back bedroom is rented out as a council room.
Oh, yeah.
I put that doorway into that other back bedroom, and there is a newspaper in there now?
Newspaper. Yeah.
And then Alice is in the front now with the... She sublet from Ray.
Oh, Ray still owns it then?
Yeah.
Oh, so where does he live?
I don't know. It's down in the Okanagan somewhere.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's... Well, of course... John Brown had quite some things to do with it or something.
Yeah, well, he doesn't anymore.
No, but he had some ideas. Well, that turned out, and that was all kind of started by you suggesting it, that they fix up that building.
Yeah, my idea was to have a, mine and Polly's, of course, this little miniature village around there.
Oh, yeah.
And have, I built the sidewalk from the front to the back.
Oh, yeah.
And then I wanted to have miniature store, all around it.
Yeah, because there's that video shop, that's part of it.
Yeah, well, that was part of it. I fixed that up and I rented it for a hairdresser.
Oh, that's
right. In the beginning.
Yeah.
And then she bought Pam Mahoney's, and then the video from Smithers
set up there. Yeah.
And then when Alice went broke and moved over to my store.
Oh, did she go broke in her store?
Well, she closed it down.
Oh, yeah.
And then the video guy moved over there, and then Carl Darity, I guess, rented that place.
Yeah. So he's renting part of it now, of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that something? So then, of course, after that, so you finally sold it in what year was that?
Oh, God, I can't remember.
About 7 years ago. So it'd be 1981 or something, 1980 or something like that.
Is it 7 years? No. Not 7 years since I sold it.
Oh.
Maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah. You had it for 7 years.
Yeah.
Oh, it's more than 3 or 4 years. Let's say 5. I bet it's 5 years.
Since I sold it?
Mm-hmm.
Think so?
But
I don't
it
think
is.
So. No, so, it isn't.
No?
Mm-mm. Because I got that motorhome as a trade-in, and I only had that for 2 years.
Oh, I see.
And I sold it this year, so it's only 3 years this year.
So 3 years. It. So it'd be 1985 that you sold it.
Something like that, I guess.
And then you retired to your beautiful home here.
Oh, yeah, but then we bought these cabins up the valley.
Oh, yes. So what year did you buy them?
Oh, God. 19.
Well, you must
about
have
73 or
you
4.
You must have had them about 10 years.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do with them?
Well, we were going to have a tourist riverboat rides, but we can't do that now because you have to be licensed. But just sort of, we call it a fish camp. It's going to be, we call it Grizzly King Holiday Ranch.
Grizzly King Holiday Ranch.
And I was going to have work in conjunction with this placing.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, when we first started, I bought the cabins and I was going to put them on the Dundas place.
Oh, yeah.
But then I went in to see how long I had to move them.
Oh, yeah.
And the woman said, well, why don't you apply for the land? I thought, well, how do you do that? I didn't even know how to do that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh.
So she told me how to go about doing it.
The lady who, what, to be like the real estate or what?
The one that worked in the government office. I went in to see. Because I thought they were going to say, well, you know, get those cabins off this property. This is government land.
Because you're the one that bought the cabins.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So you bought the cabins, and it was after that you applied.
Yeah.
Oh, forgive me.
And then I had to come up with a plan. I hate those plans, dude. Because they always seem to me that they never work out the way you plan them.
Yeah. Well, but it's a good investment anyhow, because I'm sure it didn't. You know, it didn't cost you your shirt either at that time.
We paid fair market value for
it. Did you actually bought the land then?
Yeah, we just got title to it last year.
Oh,
We leased it all those years because they couldn't make up their mind whether they wanted
to. You mean the government?
Yeah.
Or that'd be the regional board?
No, the government.
Oh, so the government really owned it?
Yeah.
It was like Crown land?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
And they were making too much. They'd up the rent every year. I think we paid for it in rent the same as we paid for it when
really?
We bought it out. Yeah.
Oh, my.
And finally, I said, well, you know, if you don't own it to rent it to me, or to sell it to me, how can you own it to rent it to me?
Yeah.
Because of this lease pendings it was against.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you got it just before the lease pendings came.
No, we had to get that lease pendings lifted.
Oh.
And then... Because I wouldn't sell it, give them any more rent, unless they would tell me that it would go on to the purchase price.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you mean the rent would go on the purchase price?
Yeah.
All the rent all those years?
No, I just finally said, well, unless that was up to $1,500 a year.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, well, you know, can you give me some assurance that this is going to go against the purchase price? Because they said I could purchase it, but I couldn't purchase it because of the lease pendings.
Oh, yeah.
So they're still leasing it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Why should I pay all that money into lease money?
Why, that's right.
When I'm prepared to buy it. If they can't sell it to me, how in hell can they rent it to me?
Yeah, that's right.
You know.
So
right away they, well, don't give us any more rent till you hear from us again.
Oh, yeah.
And the next time I heard from them, I said, well, they can.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, very interesting.
So they managed to lift the lace pendants.
Well, they had to go through the
right ways.
Yeah.